What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, hello. Welcome to or welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and thank you so much for tuning into this episode today. Today's episode is a very special one, and one I'm honestly really excited to dive into. And I feel like it's very fitting because, one, it's the month of February, so it's the love month. I know we are past Valentine's Day, but I still feel like this month, and honestly every month, needs to have a focus of self-love. But this episode is extra special as well because the day this episode comes out is the beginning of National Eating Disorders Awareness Week. And if you're new here, hi, I'm Jenny. Thank you so much for being here, one. And two, I have shared a lot about my own mental health journey and specifically eating disorder recovery journey. Eating Disorders Awareness Week is a very special week for me, and I did an episode last year during this week on body image, which I feel like is a huge part of my personal journey with my recovery, and my eating disorder very much stemmed from body image issues and body image mindsets and just kind of ingrained perspectives of myself and my body, which I have spent the last 4 years unraveling, and I'm very much still in the process of doing that. And today I thought about doing a part two to body image, but if I'm being real with you all, I have been struggling a bit with my body image, and I want to show up here and provide advice when I feel like I have lived experience of whatever I'm speaking on. And so I definitely feel like I could share a lot about what has worked for me up until now. But honestly, just being real with you all, I'm struggling a bit with my body image, and I'm having quite a negative inner dialogue about my body right now. And so I think the best thing for myself and the way I want to connect with you all and talk about this week and just part of my healing journey is to touch upon the self-love aspect, which again is something that I am actively working on and I don't have all the answers to, but I feel like that has been a big focus of mine the last few months. And in turn, it's helping my body image for sure. Working on my self-love, working on my self-acceptance is in turn really helping my relationship with my body, but it's been a little bit up and down the last few months. So I want to save that for a later day when I feel like I have more to share and I'm not in kind of a confusing spot with it. So today I want to make the focus on self-love, which I feel like is such an important part of any human's life, but also specifically an important part of any eating disorder recovery journey, mental health recovery journey, just any sort of healing journey. Self-love is going to be a huge component of that. And I think I didn't realize how big of a part and how big of a role that it needed to play until, honestly, recently. I kind of have always viewed life and also my recovery as different checkpoints to reach in order to reach the end goal. And it's kind of slapped me in the face in the last year that is just not how life works. Life is not a series of checkboxes or checkpoints that you reach and you continue to move up and up and up. I've always been aware and understood that recovery and healing is not linear, but I think in my mind, I've still kind of believed that it's linear because that's what feels clean, that's what feels makes sense, and it doesn't feel messy when I think about it as a linear path and I'm continuing to move forward and having success with it, quote unquote. But in the last few months, in the last year for sure, it's kind of, like I said, slapped me across the face that healing and life in general, whether you're in a healing mental health or recovery journey or not, is not linear. There are going to be days that feel better and worse than the day before. There are going to be bumps in the road. There are going to be setbacks. But then there's also going to be moments of great momentum and moving forward and, you know, inspiration and energy and connection. And it comes with both sides. And that is just a fact of life. And I feel like I have been so rigid in accepting that for so long that's why I feel like I want to talk about this, and I want to share some things that I wish I knew earlier, because I feel like in the last year I've done a lot of thinking and a lot of self work and digging deep into myself and my mindsets and just the way I view the world and maybe the things that have been ingrained in me since childhood and earlier. And it's just opened my eyes a lot. It's brought a lot of discomfort, but I feel like I'm very confident that this is the right next step for me in my recovery journey and my healing journey. And yeah, like I said, very uncomfortable, and I'm probably more emotional than I have ever been since I started recovery in 2021. I'm crying a lot more, I'm feeling a lot more, I'm just feeling more dysregulated, and I think my brain automatically is pushing back against that and thinking that something's wrong. It's speaking to myself negatively, thinking I'm doing something wrong, and I just feel like I need to change and do something quote unquote right. But that is the black and white mindset. That is the perfectionism coming in. The perfectionism is telling me you feel discomfort, you feel dysregulated, you're doing something wrong. But actually, it's the contrary. I'm feeling dysregulated, I'm feeling discomfort because I'm growing, because I'm learning, and because I'm opening my eyes to the way that life actually works and to discovering a way that can lead me to more comfort and more regulation in the future. So that is kind of my little intro to this episode today, and just in a nutshell, what I've been going through the last few months. And yeah, it's been making things feel a lot more difficult. Like I said, it's been making social media feel a lot more difficult. It's been making my consistency not consistent, and my discipline and my motivation is just, it's been affecting a lot of my life. But deep down, I just keep reminding myself that this is taking me to where I want to be. This is helping me in the long run. And I know it is, even if day to day it feels really hard. And to anyone here listening as well, maybe on their own recovery journey, healing journey, self-discovery journey, it's uncomfortable. And it's going to feel quote unquote wrong at times. It's going to feel quote unquote messy at times. But just trust that you're doing something so incredible for yourself, and you should feel so proud that you're even taking that first step. Even if it feels small and you feel like you have this whole journey ahead of you, be proud of yourself that you've taken that first step. I know I'm practicing and reminding myself to be proud of myself, even if I feel like I'm not making progress. I am, and I'm gonna say the same thing to you. You're making progress, you're doing great, and just count those small wins. And so today I want to dive into 6 things that I wish I knew earlier about self-love. I'm definitely still learning a lot. I definitely still have a lot more to learn, but there are a few things that I now know about self-love that I feel confident in knowing now, but I definitely did not know and was not aware of them a few years ago. And especially when I started my eating disorder recovery journey, I just didn't really understand that these were things that are factors and are apparent and that I need to take note of. I thought I could kind of brush past them or not take note of them or push them aside. But yeah, so without further ado, let's dive into my 6 things I wish I knew earlier about self-love.
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
So the first thing I wish I knew earlier about self-love is that the way you speak to yourself becomes your perceived reality. And this is a concept I am honestly still grasping, but I definitely understand it a lot more and a lot deeper now. And I understand the impact that those thoughts and in your inner dialogue have on your reality. I don't know why, and I don't know where this came from, but I feel like I always have thought that I can think something, but I can do the opposite. I can be so mentally strong that I don't listen to the negative and I do it anyway. Maybe I don't listen to the self-doubt and I do it anyway. And for some time, honestly, that did work for me. I was just maybe doubting myself and I had no self-confidence, but I kind of forced myself into doing things. And that was me throughout a lot of high school and college. I felt the negative. I didn't feel good about myself, but I took action and I did things anyway. But what I didn't realize is that all that time I was just enforcing and reinforcing and reinforcing these negative thoughts about myself and this negative dialogue. So then when I started eating disorder recovery and I stopped forcing myself to do things and I stopped pushing against that negative voice and I actually tried to listen to my body, all my body was saying, all my brain was saying was negative, horrible things about myself. And so that made it really difficult to have compassion for myself, and still does make it very difficult, because all that I have to say to myself is negative things. And of course, nobody wants to hear negative things about themselves all the time. And so that's still something I'm definitely working on, but I think it's improved immensely over the last few years, and especially throughout my recovery journey. Actually, deciding to recover and deciding to push against my eating disorder and not take that as my truth, and instead really allow myself and my intuition and my gut feeling to have space to speak up, has done absolute wonders. And like I said, I still have that negative inner voice a lot of the time. It definitely gets to me and it brings a lot of discomfort and anxiety for me. But I know now that it's there because it was never told not to be there. It's there because I never allowed for there to be any other type of positive voice coming in, because I always thought that if I was just mentally strong enough to push through it, I could do anything I wanted. And that definitely had a timestamp. It worked for a little bit and it doesn't work anymore. And I definitely have thoughts of, well, I wish I was just mentally stronger. I wish I could just go back to how I was. But then I think about it for one more second and I'm like, no, hell no. I don't want to go back to who she was years ago when I was forcing myself to do things and, you know, not really letting my intuition and my gut feeling have space, because she was not a happy girl and she was not in a happy place. She was imbalanced. She was dysregulated. And while, yes, I feel imbalanced and dysregulated now, I know that the work I'm doing now and the dysregulation I feel now is going towards a place of true intuition and listening to myself rather than kind of having that force factor. I just really wish I understood earlier how much power your inner voice and your inner dialogue have. I now actively try to catch any time that I feel I'm having a negative thought, or I'm thinking negatively about my body, about food, about life, about friendships, about my relationship. I'm just at the point right now where I'm just taking note. Sometimes for sure I'm able to even reframe the entire thought, and those are big wins for me. But even just taking note of it, even if I don't have the strength and the energy to reframe it, or I'm not sure how to reframe it, even just noticing it is a huge, huge win. And that's something that you shouldn't look past. Even if you don't feel like you can suddenly flip your dialogue and think, oh, okay, I love myself today. I love the way I look in the mirror. I love the way I showed up here. Maybe that's not the dialogue you have, but it doesn't mean that you will never have that dialogue. But even just recognizing the negative flip of that, if your inner dialogue is saying negative things to you, just recognizing it is so, so key. I just feel like I repeated myself so much, but hopefully I honed the point of recognizing it is so key and so much of a win to count. The second thing I wish I knew earlier about self-love is that setting boundaries is not a sign of weakness. I feel like growing up, I never really strengthened the skills of setting boundaries because I always thought that it was an excuse or a sign of weakness or a sign of not being able to go with the flow and be flexible. Like if I had a boundary, if I had a hard no or a hard like line in the sand that I was not going to cross, I thought that that would be a nuisance to others and myself. I don't know. That's definitely the people pleaser in me. I always thought that I wanted to be go with the flow. People would like me more that way. If I didn't ruffle any plans, if I didn't disagree with anyone, then I would be well liked, and therefore I would then like myself more. But that is so far from the truth, and I feel you, and it's nothing to beat yourself up over if you maybe grew up with these same mindsets and the same perspectives. But setting boundaries is truly, truly not a sign of weakness. And the people in your life and the people who are meant to be in your life and the people who love you and respect you and support you will honor those boundaries, and they will not think any less of you for having said boundaries. You just have to start believing that you deserve to have those boundaries and that it's not a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of incapability by setting those. It's actually a sign of strength, and it's a huge, huge sign of self-respect and self-love to set boundaries. Again, this is something I've worked on a lot over the years, and I'm still discovering sort of new boundaries that I need to set either with myself or with the people in my life. And I feel like every time I'm coming to a place where I'm like, okay, I do actually need to set a boundary with this, it's becoming easier and easier and easier to set those boundaries over time as I'm kind of reframing my perspectives and my mindsets from seeing boundaries as a negative to now seeing boundaries as a strength. The next thing I wish I knew earlier about self-love is that maintaining the same level of patience and empathy that you have with loved ones and friends is so important to reflect onto yourself. In earlier stages of my recovery, I heard this a lot from professionals and therapists and people I was working with, was to treat myself like I would a friend. And when I really thought about that, it really helped me kind of shift my perspective and my mindset, because when I would think about how much I judged myself for the food I ate, I judged myself for the way I looked, I judged myself for the amount of exercise I was doing. And then I thought about if I would ever do that to a friend or someone I loved, and I would never, ever think that way about them. And I thought, I've never, ever seen someone eat a food and think less of them or think that they should feel shame for that. Yet I believe that when I look at myself. And so this is something that from earlier on, I feel like I really started grasping, and is just a really helpful reminder for myself when I'm feeling like I'm struggling a bit with my self-love that day, or I'm having a lower body image day, or maybe I'm struggling a little bit with food. I just remind myself, like, would I judge my friend the same way that I'm judging myself right now? And I feel like this just kind of helps me snap out of those mindsets and helps me snap into a perspective of more self-compassion and more self-love. It doesn't mean all the discomfort and all the anxiety poof just goes away, but it's helping to reframe, and it's helping to remind myself to feel grounded in self-love and self-compassion. And it's also helping, like with point one, shift my negative inner dialogue to something more positive. So that could be really helpful whether you're on a self-love journey, healing journey, eating disorder recovery journey. Just treat yourself like you would a friend, your best friend, your partner, your parents, your family, and think about how you don't judge them for them just being their authentic selves, for them, you know, being in their natural body, and you don't judge them for the food they eat. And then try to reflect that onto yourself, and don't judge yourself for the same things. The fourth thing I wish I knew earlier about self-love is that self-love does not come from your achievements or external validation. It truly can only come from within. And this is something I actually have had multiple conversations with friends about as well. And I think since graduating college, this has very much risen to the surface as a roadblock that I personally have with self-love that I really wasn't aware of before, in that I've placed a lot of my self-love and my self-value on the achievements and the things that I do, the attention I receive, the validation I receive. During school, I had a lot of that. And it's just a natural ingrained part of being in school. You have grades, you have projects, you have things that are expected of you that are graded. And you can clearly see and you can clearly feel validated if you get a good grade, if you get a bad grade. It's just, it's very clear where you stand in the range or whatever. I'm not sure if I'm explaining that right. But I just feel like with school, it's very easy to attach your self-worth and your self-value on your achievements and what you do, because it's kind of handed to you in that way. And no one really actively tells you not to do that. So I never thought I was wrong in feeling good about myself for receiving an A or a high score on my project, or my teacher liking my project in college, or the boy I like liking me back, or getting attention by some people at a bar, or being told I'm pretty. Like, all those external factors, no one really tells you, okay, it's great, it's okay to enjoy that, but don't let it become your everything. Don't let it become the only way you feel good about yourself. At least no one ever told me that. Maybe other people tell other people that. I don't know. I missed the mark with that. And so now in my early mid-20s, I'm discovering that I have built that mindset around self-worth and self-love. And I kind of need to peel back the layers and I need to break it down a little bit and rebuild it up in a way of feeling validated and feeling self-love truly just from myself. If all the external things go away, if I don't have any more projects, if I have no one giving me attention, if I have no one giving me validation, how do I feel about myself? And I feel like that's something that's really, really important to ask yourself in any sort of healing journey, self-love journey, and especially an eating disorder recovery journey. In my experience, I really had to break down why I was placing so much value on the way I look and the attention I received and the validation I received, and why I was basing all of my self-worth off of those things rather than something actually internal from within myself. So that's been a difficult thing to navigate, but really, really important to recognize and just begin to break down. Like I said, I don't have the answers to it all. I have not perfected the art of separating my self-worth from my achievements and validations and all of that, but I'm definitely way, way more ahead of where I was a few years ago, for sure. And I just keep reminding myself that if all these external things go away, do I still love myself? Do I still value myself? And if the answer is no, I work to make it more towards a yes. The fifth thing I wish I knew earlier about self-love is that taking a step back might actually be exactly what you need in order to take a step forward. And this kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier, and that understanding that recovery and healing journeys are not linear at all is very much something to keep in mind when thinking about self-love as well. And as someone with perfectionism, I feel like I've struggled with accepting that and understanding that and knowing that that's okay, that if I take a step back, it actually might be letting me have space in order to take the right step forward for me. My perfectionism freaks out the second I take that step back because I think I'm losing progress. I think I'm throwing all of my work up in the air and letting it go. But actually, that's not what's happening. Taking that step back, having a harder day, saying no to something that you need to, or just feeling like you're taking a step back in your journey is absolutely not the end of the world. And if anything, it's just a chance to give yourself more patience, more compassion, and allow yourself to take up that space in that quote-unquote setback, even though it's really not a setback, it's just another step in your journey. But allowing yourself to take up space in that time to then really think about and be intentional and intuitive with the next step you want to take forward in your journey. And so that's something I've been hearing as well since I started my eating disorder recovery journey as well, and just reminding myself that it's not linear, not every day is going to feel the same, and if one day feels worse, that doesn't mean all your progress has been lost, and it doesn't mean that all your work has gone to waste. It just means you're having a harder day. It just means that today in this part of your journey, or maybe it's a month, maybe it's a longer time, maybe it's a really low phase, just reminding yourself that these phases will come in waves. After a low phase, there will be a high phase, then there will be inevitably another low phase, and that it's not a constant trajectory forward upwards, checkpoint after checkpoint after checkpoint, because that's just not how life works. And so kind of stripping that away and trying to get rid of that unrealistic expectation of my self-love and healing journey has helped me so, so, so much. And then moving on to the last thing, the sixth thing I wish I knew earlier about self-love is that the small wins are a lot larger than you think they are. And again, this goes back to what I was talking about in one of the earlier points, is that even just recognizing your negative self-talk is a win. And it may feel very small, it may feel very insignificant, but counting that win and taking a moment to feel proud of yourself, maybe take a moment to journal about it or tell someone how proud you are of yourself, is so, so key and so, so important to building that stronger sense of self-love and self-validation and self-worth from a true place, rather than, like we mentioned in another point, rather than on our achievements and our external validations. This is something I'm definitely still working on, and honestly probably is one of the harder ones for me of this list. I wish I knew earlier, and I definitely understand the benefits and the power of counting the small wins, but it's definitely still something that is kind of lower on the things that I think about more automatically now. So I'm trying to bring it up higher, you know, and that comes with patience, that comes with compassion for myself as well. But the times that I do just really feel proud of myself and recognize, wow, I've come a long way and I have a lot to be proud of, even though they feel very small and they feel like very small steps in the grand scheme of things, they're still so worth validating and they deserve that time and that space and that celebration, even if it doesn't really feel like they quote unquote should. But that is something to just disregard, because you deserve to celebrate any little piece of your journey, any little piece of your life. You deserve to celebrate it if it's something that you feel you have achieved and it's a hill that you've overcome. Even if it's not that hard or it doesn't really feel that big of an achievement, it's still worth celebrating and it's still worth taking note of. And that is something I'm really trying to just live my life by more now, and allow myself to celebrate, allow myself to take note of the small wins, allow myself to feel proud of myself for the smallest little thing. And I'm talking so small that it's just getting up out of bed instead of sitting in bed feeling frozen by decision paralysis. Like, that feels very minuscule, just standing up out of bed, but that is a win because it was difficult for me and I was struggling with decision paralysis and anxiety in the morning, but I still got out of bed. Or it could be as small as, I don't know, it literally could be anything. I don't want to give too many examples because I don't want to cause comparison, but whatever you maybe feel like you're looking past or you're dismissing as, like, quote unquote insignificant or not important, maybe try to take a second to think about it and just feel proud of yourself and be like, well, sure, that was like a small thing, but I did do that and I'm really proud of myself that I did that. And just take a moment to count the win, even if it's just for like 5 seconds, just taking note and patting yourself on the back, recognizing that you did something hard and that you deserve to celebrate yourself, and then move on with your day. Or if you want to make a whole thing of it, have a whole party, have all your friends over for this small win, I think that's wonderful too. But the point here is just to count the small wins, because they are so much more powerful than you think they are. So those are 6 things that I wish I knew earlier about self-love. And like I said, I'm still actively working on my self-love journey. I feel like I'm in the middle of my self-love journey, and I'm so, so beyond grateful to have all of you here along with me in the journey, and I love that we're going through this together. Recording these podcasts always make me feel so fulfilled, and just, I love this platform so, so much, and I'm so appreciative that you are here listening and supporting. So go put a little comment down below if you're listening on Spotify, or you can follow the podcast Instagram at perfectlyimperfect.pod, or you can find us on YouTube as well if you want to watch a little visual. So feel free to let me know that you're here. Let me know what you're working on for your own self-love, maybe some other tips and advice that you have found helpful. And we can all just learn from each other. And I love that about this. So thank you so, so much for being here. And I will catch you in the next episode.